Gemara, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, 1-1, new Masechta. And like I said in the introduction, essentially the whole Masechta revolves around one Pasuk. The Pasuk, Vikra Chavzayin, Pasuk Yud, there in Bechukosai says, Lo Yachlifenu, V'lo Yamiroso, you can't exchange or substitute a korban. Tov Bara, or Rabba Tov, whether bring in a new good, meaning unblemished animal to substitute for a Ra, a bad, a blemished korban. Or the opposite, Rabba Tov, bring in a substandard, now blemished animal in place of a consecrated animal that's unblemished. V'mehemer yamir behema behema, if one does attempt to substitute one animal for another animal, v'hayahu usmura, so yekodesh, both it and its replacement are kodesh, are consecrated. It doesn't work to substitute, but it does work to spread the kedusha. So it's a lav, and the Mishnah says, Hakol Mamirin, anybody can do it. Echad Anashim ve'echad Nashim, whether they're male or female, there's no reason why a man or woman, a man can, but a woman can't. There's actually the reason why the Mishnah has to say this is because the actual Lashon, Lo Yechlivenu ve'lo Yamir Oso, is masculine talk. Yachlifenu and Yamir, it would have had to say like Tachlifenu and Tamir, but it doesn't. Nevertheless, there's an extra vav there. The actual vav, the lo yamir, comes to tell you, actually the vav, excuse me, of the im hamir yamir, that vav comes to add women like men no different. As far as hakol, what's that coming to add in addition to men and women? That's a yoresh, an heir, because inheritor. Because the halacha is, and this is sort of very central and important, only the bailim, the owner of the animal, is the one who could do the tamura. The substitution. If someone who's non-owner attempts to do it, it's just not effective. So the Chiddush of Hakol is, even though the original owner, and we'll see later on that it's all about the original owner who's the one who has the power, the original owner was the father, and then he dies and leaves the consecrated animal to his heir, the son. That son is, yes, able to do Tamura, even though he's not the original owner. Okay? That's the Hakol coming to add. That's also based on a Pasuk. It's learned now from there. Okay, fine. Now, it's the extra of, it's Hamer Yamir, the extra Hamer, the double comes to tell you that this din about the heir can do it as well. Says the Mishnah further, Lo Sha Adam Rashai Lahamir. Don't get confused. We're not saying, says the Mishnah, that a person is permitted to do Tamura. In other words, don't get the notion of can and may confused. A person can do Tamura, but he may not. So he's not permitted to do Tamura. Ella, the point of our Mishnah is, She'im Hamir Mumar. That if a person does attempt to effect a substitution, bring in an unconsecrated animal to be the substitute for a consecrated animal, mumar, that unconsecrated animal now is a substitute, meaning it also is consecrated as well as the old one. And if one does that, v'sofeg esa arbaim, then he faces the consequences of getting lashes. Sofeg esa arbaim literally means he absorbs the 40. It's a reference to lashes, which are actually 40 minus 1 or 39 lashes. We don't give a full 40 lest it kills a person. In any case, throughout Shas, Sofeg Eser Arbaim just means he gets lashes. So, of course, he would need to have the usual requirements, including witnesses, two witnesses, and Hasra. They have to warm ahead of time. But the point is that a person's eligible for lashes. Now, there is some technical questions here. One of them is that usually the rule is that a lav she'em bo ma'asa, a prohibition from the Torah as Tamura is, it says you may not. Right, it says lo yamir, but the act of substitution is just done through speech. So one person says, for example, you know, this should be the substitute or replacement of that. So usually the rule is a lav she'en bo ma'asa, a prohibition which doesn't involve an actual action, just words. So that usually doesn't suffer the consequence of lashes. So the question is, well, why is it the case here that it does? So the Bar Tanura follows a Rambam, which simply essentially says that that's the rule, but there are three exceptions. The exceptions include swearing falsely, Tamura, our Mishnah, our case, and also cursing a fellow Jew out with the Shem Hashem. Those are all things you do with your mouth. They're just words, but they still carry the penalty of Malchus. And that's the case over here, says the Bar Tanura. It's interesting that the Bar Tanura goes that way because the Gemara does suggest there is a difference, which is that something is sort of changing, at least a legal change happening here in the physical world, which is before you do the Tamura, this unconsecrated animal was unconsecrated. Now that you've done the Tamura, you've made it restricted as a korban as well. So something has changed down here, at least legally, In contrast to swearing falsely or cursing someone, nothing's happening, even a legal change down here. But it, apparently the Rambam and the Bartner therefore doesn't think that a legal change constitutes a Maisa. Okay, says the Mishnah further. HaKohanim memirin es shalahem, v'Yisrael memirin es shalahem. A person is able to consecrate only if he is the Baalim, the owner of this animal. So if a Kohen has a Korban, that's he consecrated himself, or a non-Kohen did, then of course they can do tamur on it. But ein HaKohanim memirin loes lo b'chatas v'lo b'ashem v'lo b'bechor. A Kohen may not, he's not able to, no, he cannot, do tamura on a chatas or an ashen that was given to him, or a bechor. Now, these are two separate things. The chatas and the ashen, the point is, you have a Yisrael, he's not a Kohen, he did an Avera, let's say he was Mechal Shabbos, Beshogeg, he has to bring a chatas now. So he consecrates the animal, he goes to the Beis Hamikdash, he finds a Kohen there, and he says, listen, Kohen, I was Mechal Shabbos, I need to bring a Korban, this is my chatas, can you please, you know, do it for me? Now the Kohen will, quote-unquote, do it for him, he'll do the Avoda. The point is that after the Avoda is done, who gets to eat the meat of the chatas? The Kohen does, or the Kohanim do. And therefore the Kohen has a stake in it. And therefore you might have think, no pun intended, but therefore you might think that the Kohanim, because they have a stake in it, they're considered to be sufficiently Baalim owners enough to be able to effect Temura. The answer is no, they aren't. Because while the animal is alive prior to the slaughtering of it and offering of it, it belongs only to the original owner, the Yisrael, not the Kohen. Since the Kohen has no stake in it, he can't do Temura. That's not such a big Chiddush. But the Bechor is a bigger Chiddush. Now, we'll have to discuss, the Mishnah will explicitly discuss in a moment. The point is that a Bechor, the case is we're talking about a Yisrael who has a cow, goat, or sheep which gets pregnant, and its first issue is a Bechor. It's a firstborn male cow, goat, or sheep. So the halacha is that animal, the firstborn male issue, that's the peterechem that goes to a Kohen, has to be given to a Kohen. The Kohen becomes the owner of it. And in fact, if the animal happens to already be like a Baal Mum and has a permanent blemish, so the Kohen can even eat that animal right then and there. Okay, so it's his. It doesn't need to be brought as a korban necessarily. So he kind of seems like the Baalim, the owner. And yet the Mishnah says that the Kohen cannot do Temura on the Bechor that's given to him. And that's curious. So that curiosity is brought up by Amar Rebbe Yochanan ben Nuri. V'chi mipnei ma ein mamirin b'bechor. Wait, says Yochanan ben Nuri, says, wait a second. Why can't the Kohen do Temura on the Bechor? It's his after all. Amalo Rebbe Akiva, chatas va'asha matana l'Kohen. Rebbe Akiva says, just as the chatas and the ashen, the sin and guilt offerings, are gifts to the Kohen, and the Kohen didn't start out being the Baalim, he can't do the Temura on it. A Bechor, matan la Kohen. The Bechor is also a gift to the Kohen, he can't do Temura on it. Says Rebbe Akiva, ma chatas va ashem ein mamirin bo, just as when it comes to chatas and ashem, the Kohen can't do Temura. Afa Bechor, lo yamirin bo. So neither can the Kohen do Temura on his Bechor. The question now Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri asks is, wait a second, it doesn't make so much sense. Because I get it when it comes to a chatas and an asham, while it's alive, it belongs to the Baalim. But not the case of the Bechor. The Bechor belongs to the Kohen. So it's not the same thing at all. That's what he says. Mali einu meimer b'chatos of asham she'en zachen ben b'chayim. What says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? What do I care? What's the relevance that you can't, the Kohen can't do Temura on a chatos and asham? Yeah, because while it's alive, it's not his. While the animal is alive, it doesn't belong to the Kohen yet. Torah Bechor Shezachen Bo Bechayev. How could you apply that to a Bechor where the Bechor is given to the Kohen? It's his. Totally, it's his. He's allowed to eat it then and there. If it's Baal Mum anyways, but it's totally the Kohen's, that's for sure. If someone steals it, he has to recompensate the Kohen. It's the Kohen's. Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, no, this is based on a drush from Pasuk. Kfar Namar, because the Pasuk says, we're quoting out the Pasuk in the context of Temura. It says, V'hayahu usmura so ye kodesh. It and its substitute will be kodesh. And there's a hekesh, we're connecting it, the original korban, and the temura. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, based on a drasha, heichan kedusha chalalav. Where does the kedusha of the original happen? Only beves bailam, only by the original owner is the one who consecrates the animal originally. You can't consecrate an animal, it's not yours. So when you consecrate your chatas or your asham or your bechor, it's happening while it's in the possession of the original owner, not the Kohen who's going to get it after, however the after is. And therefore, af temura bebeis baalim, you only can do temura if you are the original owner. Meaning that the original owner, when he has a firstborn cow, goat, sheep, he must give it to a Kohen. But since he has some stake in it, well, it's true, it's not really his, it's his to give to a Kohen, he gets to choose which Kohen he gives it to. If Kohen A knocks on the door and says, I want my Bechor, I heard you had a Bechor last night in your farm, the farmer can say, well, I did have a Bechor, but I'm not giving it to you, I'm giving it to my cousin, the other Kohen. So therefore, the Bialim, the owner, he has the original farmer, he has rights, enough rights to be due, he's the original owner, and can do the Temura, whereas the Kohen can't. So that's what Rabbi Kiva's getting at over here, based on Drasha, and that is the Din LaHalacha. Now you understand back to the Hakol that I said in the beginning of the Mishnah, the Chiddush, that only the original owner can do the Temura, and the Yoresh, then heir, the inheritor of the animal, is not the original owner. But the Halacha is like throughout Kol Torah Kula, that the heirs are like stepping to the father's shoe, and it's as if shoes, and it's as if they are them, if you will. So the Chiddush is that the heir could do Temura, even though he's not the original owner, but a Kohen who receives a Bechor can't, only the original owner of the farm himself, before giving to the Kohen, could do Temura.